friends, this is Janet Parshall, and I want to welcome you to the best of In the Market. Today's program is pre-recorded, so our phone lines are not open, but I do hope you'll enjoy today's edition of the best of In the Market with Janet Parshall.
Here are some of the news headlines we're watching.
By the time the conference was over, the president won a pledge.
So Americans worshiping government over God.
An extremely rare safety move by a nation.
17 years, the Palestinians and Israelis negotiated.
This idea of Moshex is not...
We hear a lot of
to the world out there in right field, and they taunt him and they chant his name.
He takes his cap off and reacts to it. It's just been a tough time.
I tell you, it's a tough business. And the chant continues, the taunt of Strawberry. Maybe in Shea Stadium they'll start hollering Dwight.
Well, I just hope that they... I just hate to see that happen to a youngster with that kind of potential.
2-1. Of course, it's all part of the maturing process. Strawberry's only 24. High fly ball to Strawberry. Tell you what, if you don't want to live in a goldfish bowl, you better not be a big league ball player.
No.
Boy, isn't that the truth? And live in a fishbowl, he sure did. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. I am so glad we're going to spend the hour together. You know how much we love sports on this program. But the intersection of sports and faith is something that I really love to talk about. And we have the privilege, and I count it as such, to spend the hour with one of baseball's all-time greats. If you couldn't figure it out from that clip, that's, of course, when the New York Mets were playing the Red Sox, and they were chanting, Daryl, Daryl, because they were trying to make sure that Daryl Strawberry didn't do his job. Kind of hard to miss him on the field, by the way. When he's not playing out in right field, he would stand in the batter's box, all 6 feet, 6 inches of him. And he was known for his long looping swing. A lot of people thought of Ted Williams every time he got up to hit. And hit he did, by the way. So he started out, if you want stats, baseball's all about stats. His Major League Baseball career began May 6, 1983, playing for the New York Mets. His last game as a Major League ball player was October 3rd, 1999, for the New York Yankees. Now, just think about that for a little bit. From the Mets to the Yankees, you know, we talk football a lot here as well. That's kind of like the Bears and the Packers. But getting back to baseball, for Daryl Strawberry's career, two little stints in between, one with the L.A. Dodgers, one with the San Francisco Giants. But this is a man, by the way, who will go down as a Hall of Famer always because he helped lead the New York Mets to a World Series championship in 86. And then the New York Yankees, three World Series, 96, 98, and 99. But that's just part of Daryl Strawberry's story, the baseball part of Daryl Strawberry's story. There's so much more than that. By the way, you just heard that commentator say, if you don't want to live in a fishbowl, don't play in the major leagues. Well, being in a fishbowl is great when you're hitting home runs. It's not so great when you're dealing with addiction and arrests and failed marriages, and the list goes on. But I'll tell you what Daryl reminds us of in his brand new book. Every single one of us has suited up. If we followed Christ as our personal Savior, we know who our head coach is, and every single one of us is playing in the game of life. And so just like any good baseball game, unless you're going into overtime, has 9 innings. What Daryl wants us to know is that in those 9 innings, there are 9 principles that can help God transform our life. That's why his newest book, and by the way, to his curriculum vitae, you have to add New York Times bestselling author. His new book is called Turn Your Season Around. Daryl, what a joy. Thank you so much for the gift of your time. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Janet. I really appreciate your time, too. And that introduction was just like really incredible, you know, with the baseball history. That you would know so much about baseball.
Well, I have to ask you a question, especially when I heard that game. And boy, there's no pressure like the pressure of playing in the series. In the movie For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner, he has this ability to just drown out the crowd, and he's focused on the game. When they're taunting your name, they're not only you got tens of thousands of people in the stands, but you know people are watching by television as well. How do you get out the roar of the crowd and really concentrate on the task at hand?
Well, your focus as a player is you're there to perform, and if your performance is not up to standard, are you going to either get cheered or are you going to get booed? Now, when you're on the road, these are the things that happens to you. You know, had I not ever been on the road before, then it would be a different story. So I was kind of used to it. You know, it was just the time of us playing a championship ball game and being in front of everybody on national stage. And as you can see, the announcers, Vince Scully, they just continue to go on as the crowd continued to chant my name. And people used to ask me, did that bother you? I said, no, at least everybody knew I'm in the ballpark.
That's a great way to look at it. I like that a lot. You know, there's some real athleticism that runs in your family. You've got some sons that are great athletes. Your brother was drafted, by the way, played for the Dodgers for a while. So are all of your siblings athletes, or were you and Michael just the standouts?
Me and Michael was just a standout. My other brother, my middle brother, Ronnie, he was really troubled because of the dysfunction in our home with our father, and left him scarred just like it left me scarred. And you know, he ended up taking a different road, and you know, got in a lot of trouble, arrest, drugs, and everything because of, you know, like I said before, he was already broken at a young age, just like I was.
Yeah. Yeah. Darryl, that's so interesting you should bring that up, because as I was reading your book and your other books as well, I have to tell you that yours is really a father story. It's an earthly father, and it's also the story of your relationship with your heavenly father. Talk to me about growing up. Born in L.A., your household, you use the word, I'll repeat it, it was dysfunctional. What was that like for you growing up?
It was hard. You know, it was hard to know which person was coming home and, you know, what kind of response were you going to get from me when he came to the house. And I think it was very difficult as a young kid to understand that. I mean, you're 14 years old. You don't expect your house to be upside down, and our house was upside down. So we had to learn real early, you know, what it was going to take to grow up real fast.
And baseball became a part of that. Let me pick it up at that point when we return. What a treat. You know, even if you don't love sports, and I do hope you do, by the way, the Bible's filled with references to athletics, so I know that God loves sports. But I have to tell you, this is for you and me as players on the field. If you follow Christ as your Savior, you were issued a team uniform, and now you're to get out and you're supposed to play in the game of life. You're not doing so good if you're having a slump in your batting average right now. How do you turn your season around? We'll talk. The Bible is the basis of our faith, yet there are many passages that are perplexing, like a talking donkey or the day the sun and moon stood still. And that's why I've chosen Why Is That in the Bible as this month's Truth Tool. Every story, every passage is there to draw us closer to God. Why Is That in the Bible is yours when you give a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58, 877-JANET-58, or go to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org.
Four to four St. Louis at Cincinnati in the 12th, and 5-1 San Francisco over the Dodgers, bottom of the fifth inning.
Speaking of home runs, there's a long drive. That ball is out of here. Home run, Darryl Strawberry.
That ball may have hit the lights up there. It may have hit the top of the stadium. I think it did. Darryl slowed down. I can't believe it. That ball hit the top of the stadium.
He's going to get hurt.
He might get hurt with that swing, not with that handshake.
It's tough getting down that low when you're 6'6". Oh, boy.
You can get anywhere you want to with that kind of strength.
Boy, as he hammered the ball today, first game of the season for the Mets.
This ball hits the top of the stadium.
Now, if you love sports and you love baseball and you love movies about baseball, tell me right now you didn't think about Roy Hobbs in The Natural. He not only hit the ball out of the park, he took the skin off the ball. So there he is, Darryl Strawberry, taking the ball and hitting the top of the stadium. Now, let me go back to L.A. Let me go back and growing up in a dysfunctional household. Darryl, you said baseball became a way out on that. Out of all the choices you could have made, why baseball? Why do you think God started to draw you to baseball?
Well, I mean, I could have easily went to college to play basketball, and I could have played football, but baseball was, you know, part of who I was. You know, I just believe, Janet, it was my pain that led me to my greatness, and my greatness would eventually lead me to my destructive behavior, and baseball was my great place to be, you know, to be at that facing one-on-one, a guy staring me down, and I got a bat in my hand. And I kind of was, like, using that as my pain to crush the ball like I figured I would crush my father's head. And that's why I became what I became, because the pain was so deep and it was so real. It was just in me. And, you know, people say, well, why can you get over that? You can't just get over that. You know, when you've been rejected and beaten and laid across the bed, take your shirt off, and your father beat you with an extension cord and tell you you're never going to be nothing, you believe that, you know. So even though I was a great player, hitting home runs, I could run around the bases, get high fives and everything, I was excited about that. It was excitement in it. But at the same time, I used to always question myself, who am I? Because my father said I would never be anything.
Yeah. Well, Darryl, one of the reasons why I appreciate you so much is just you tell it like it is, and you're so honest and so transparent. You know, in one of the 9 innings that you refer to on turning our season around is this idea of our identity. And a lot of people struggle with that. Everybody searches for significance, even Christians, by the way. We forget whose we are. So here's your daddy beating you, telling you that you'll never amount to anything. You know, that's really raises a couple of interesting questions. Number one, God obviously gifted you as an athlete. So as you look back in your life, and we do, we kind of have those Ebenezer moments where you say, here was God, even if I didn't recognize it. There was God, even if I didn't recognize it. He makes you a super athlete, and he puts you into Major League Baseball. You ever ask yourself, why God? I mean, I could have been a coach at a college. I could have been a scout. I could have done 1,000 things. Why, God, did you make me athletic?
That's a pretty incredible question, because, you know, a lot of people really don't understand that, why God? You know, well, God has his plan, and his plan is already mapped out before we were even here, before, you know, I even got here. He had the plan mapped out, who I would be and what would happen and how I would come to a better understanding of what was important. You know, baseball, he utilized my ability, my skills, to have a platform that would draw him in with a last name, Strawberry, 6'6", left-hander, playing in New York City. Okay, he'll let me play, let me have the success, but then the brokenness of who I was would play out in my life, and then God would take the mess of who I was to bring me back to wholeness and bring me back to him and bring forth messes. At the end of the day, people don't understand God, and that's the problem why so many Christians are not having victory. They look at their struggles like they're not supposed to go through them. Why are we not supposed to go through them, Janet?
Yes.
Jesus showed us his wounds. Why are we so afraid to show people our wounds and scars and what we've been through? Yeah. We're sinners. The only way we can get saved is by grace. Every last one of us come here. When you understand that grace is something that I don't deserve and God has given it to me, now you can go on and live the abundant life in what he's called you to do.
Amen and amen. Darryl, did you ever think that maybe God made you such a super athlete because he would give you a platform, and that platform wouldn't be about Darryl Strawberry, and it is on so many levels, but more than that, particularly through your brokenness, and you've often said, and I love it when you say that there's a message in your mess, and that's a message for all of us. There's a message in our mess. By the way, God uses messy people so he can be honored and glorified, but I wonder if he made you a super athlete so that you would have this fabulous platform to be able to say, let me tell you about Jesus, and people won't look the other way because of who you are and your accomplishments in the world of sports.
No question about it. I believe that was the whole picture of everything, the way it supposed to went. You know, people say, well, you know, could have went another way, you know, had you been better. I wasn't. I wasn't well. I wasn't well on the inside. I mean, I was well from the outside, the perspective from the outside, having everything but having nothing on the inside. I didn't have any understanding and clarity about who I was and where I was going. I had the ability to play baseball, and God put me on that platform to be great and then to take the fall like I had to take of life. And then would everybody look at me and everybody would turn and scatter and run and say everything about me because of the fall, but they didn't know the redeeming power of God was far greater than the baseball uniform, I think. And once I realized that and stopped identifying myself as the baseball player, because, see, putting on the uniform, Janice, just made me a baseball player. But when I met Jesus, I became a man, and it became full circle, you know, the importance of who you really are once you have that encounter with Jesus and you meet him and you start living by the biblical principles, you become everything that God had created. It's so cool. I mean, I don't recommend it to anyone to go through what I went through, but God knew I would be strong enough to handle it and deal with it and go through every trial and tribulation, every piece of brokenness, so he would rescue me, redeem me, and restore me to wholeness and righteousness to him.
Wow. And you've turned right around and you've given him all the honor and glory. You know, I know there are going to be a lot of takeaways from our conversation with Daryl today, but you just got another outstanding one. Putting on the uniform made Daryl Strawberry a baseball player. Coming to Christ made him a man. It's pretty profound. We'll be back after this.
Swung on, and there's a high drive to deep right center. It is high, it is far, it is gone in the black. An enormous moonshot home run by Strawberry. And then the Yankees take a 2-1 lead. He not only hit the ball in the black, he hit the ball 15 to 20 feet back in the black. Oh, what a home run for the straw man.
Oh, my goodness. That was an amazing home run. That was high, it was far, and it was gone. I mean, when it left his bat, it was gone, and the Yankees are all over him in the dugout. A high fastball. What a pretty swing. There was never a doubt. It was to the left of the courthouse, if you could picture the courthouse, which is over the facade in the outfield, and that's where the parabola, it went to the left of the furthest most window and then landed in the black.
Now, that's something, landing in the black. By the way, that's 1998, and it was at the old Yankee Stadium. And, of course, the man behind the hit, Daryl Strawberry. And what a privilege to spend the hour with him. This man loves Jesus, and he wants to tell people whose he is and what God has done in, for, and through him. And he's written another book. By the way, he is a New York Times bestselling author, but his newest book is called Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. And as a great writer and a great athlete does, he breaks down 9 innings of things that we need to do to turn our life around. All of us have been in slumps in our life, but there is a way in which we can recalibrate and rediscover who we are in him. Daryl's already told you about a couple of them, receiving God's grace and redefining our identity, but also this idea of revealing your scars. And as Daryl just said so beautifully, none of that is wasted in God's classroom. God's trying to tell you something, like that old song says. So, Daryl, you're a major league ball player. You're all over the sports world. You're on newspapers. You're in the media capital of the world. Your name is synonymous with Major League Baseball. But there are all kinds of temptations. Bible says, listen, there's no temptation that isn't common to man. So you got women, you got drugs, you got the elixir of fame. How do you deal with all of that? Because it's not yet 1991 when you come into a saving knowledge with Jesus Christ, and there are still rough periods after that. But at this point in time, 1998, you've already made a decision for Christ, and yet all of these temptations are swirling around. Talk to me about that.
Well, it's still complicated. You make a good point there. It's still very complicated because you're still in the lifestyle. The lifestyle is very fast and very tempting, and everything is at your fingertips. You know, you put a uniform on, people cheering for you, or people booing for you. You like all that. You like that atmosphere. So you get accustomed to it, and then it becomes a part of who you are. And it's not until you get actually away from it and have to really take off the uniform and really step into the real purpose. It's very hard. I've only seen a couple players do it. I saw Gary Carter do it, a teammate, and I saw Mookie Wilson do it. I saw these guys live and didn't condemn anybody else. They would go out to dinner with us, but afterwards they would head back to the hotel when we were on the road. And they'd say, see you at the ballpark tomorrow. I wonder, how did they have so much discipline? Well, realizing that Jesus was Lord over their life, that's how they had so much discipline. The rest of us are a bunch of heathens. We're out, you know, girls drinking, partying, got to play the next day, and just a routine of life. And if you don't ever bring about the discipline of who you are, and you can't do it on your own in that lifestyle, just like celebrities on television, they can't do it on their own. You go from wife to girlfriend to next one, and you just keep going trying to feel that empty void on the inside of who you are, like King Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said it's meaningless under the sun without God. Here it is, a man that writes about wisdom and knowledge in Proverbs, and he goes to say how meaningless it is because he finds himself trapped in the I, wanting this, I built this, I got this, and forgot that it was God that did it through him. So you cannot go and be successful. You could be successful playing and having a uniform on you, but you still have this outer life that lives in the flesh. See, God is not flesh. It's God is spirit, spirit and truth. You know, and once you get to a place and you have that revelation, then you have the discipline, then you no longer have to live under those type of temptations.
Yeah, wow. You have a great definition for sin. You call it self-indulgence now. Talk to me about that.
Yes, the self-indulgence now is we do that upon ourselves because, you know, the point is we're separated. You know, I'm a sinner, still going to be the sinner the rest of my life until I get out of here. But guess what, Janice? I just don't practice anymore, you know, and that was a time of self-inflicted, you know, sin self-inflicted on ourselves because we go to places and we get into places and we get into all the temptations. And it's just like going to the barbershop and sitting there in the chair and joking around with the guys. You keep going there long enough, you're going to get a haircut. You know, it's just like anything else. You know, it's just like anything else with sin. If you keep playing around with it, eventually you're going to be in there tasting it. And before you know it, you're going to wonder, how did I get here? And it takes you further than you can ever imagine to keep you longer than you want to stay.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that's so wise, Daryl. Wow. Daryl's brand new book, by the way, is called Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. The foreword, let me point out, is written by our mutual friend, Greg Laurie. And what I love so much about Daryl, this is the second time I'm going to say it, but I want to underscore it. So God takes this man raised in a really brutal, dysfunctional household, makes him a super athlete, puts him on the national stage, sets all kinds of records, garners all kinds of press and fame as a major league ball player, comes to faith in Christ. And we're going to talk about that when we come back after the break in 1991. But not all of us have that Damascus Road experience like Paul, where boom, we're blinded for 3 days, we come out of it, and just like that, our old life is completely passed away and all things have become new. We're babies when we start out, and boy, there is this profound need for discipleship. If you're going to move from milk to meat, somebody's got to help grow you up. So what happened in the life of Daryl Strawberry, right? Comes to faith in 1991. But he just told you about all those self-indulgences now that he was participating in, as we all do. And he still had some growing up to do. He's going to tell you about that when we get back. His brand new book, Turn Your Season Around. Another translation of that title is, I Can Do All Things Through Christ Who Strengthens Me. More with Daryl Strawberry right after this. Friends, this is Janet Parshall. I want to remind you that you're listening to the best of In the Market, and today's program is pre-recorded, so our phone lines aren't open. But please enjoy the rest of today's broadcast right here on the best of In the Market with Janet Parshall. We live in complicated times. At In the Market, we're helping you interpret complex cultural issues through the lens of Scripture. Our team of Parshall Partners is growing, and to say thank you, they receive exclusive information from me. In fact, I talk to you directly from my personal computer to yours by email. Become a Parshall Partner today, and you'll receive these exclusive benefits. Call 877-JANET-58 or go online to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org.
Sends this one high and deep and gone. The greatest home run hitter Shea Stadium has ever known. It's his 127th career home run here in Flushing. Daryl Strawberry raises the apple and gets the fans to rise from their seats.
There are very few hitters that can drive the ball to the opposite field. Willie Stargell's name comes to mind. But that's the difficulty of pitching against a hitter like Strawberry. Is even on a pitch out away, and most hitters that might be a little bit of a fly ball. They want him to come out.
And he does. That's the kind of moment you come out to a ballpark for.
as a fan and a player.
Absolutely. He's now hit more here than, well, he already had hit more here than anyone else. He's got 127 in his career.
Did a few of them that year.
Darryl Strawberry to the opposite field, showing tremendous power.
Now, a lot of left-hand hitters can hit line drives out that way or maybe long fly balls, but to drive it, I mean, he drove that to the opposite field like a right-hand hitter pulling the ball.
Wow. There's so much sports in what you just heard, by the way. That was at Shea Stadium, Darryl Strawberry. Another massive home run, setting one for the record books. We are talking with Darryl Strawberry. And I love these kind of conversations because I get asked frequently, being here in Washington, D.C., who are your favorite interviews? And people are going to expect that it's going to be members of Congress or presidents, vice presidents. No, my favorite conversations are talking to people who will say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. That's the headline in heaven, even if he doesn't make the cover of the Washington Post. But we're talking to people all across the country, from Guam to the Cayman Islands. And you too, once you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you're in for a game. And it is a major game, by the way. Ephesians 6 reminds us that our opposition is pretty fierce, right? And I'm not talking about L.A. playing the Yankees. I mean, our forces are not against what we can see with our human eyes. And it's an intense battle. And sometimes you grow weary in well-doing. And you have a slump in your game. So what Darryl wants us to do, and he uses these great sports analyses, is to remember that God is in control, that he can turn your life around. In fact, that's exactly what his book is called, Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. If you missed the first half, go to the podcast. You're going to want to hear everything that Darryl has to share with his wisdom. In the Market with Janet Parshall.org, left-hand side, two words, past programs, click it on, download the broadcast in its entirety. So Darryl, I was thinking when I was just hearing that the sports call on that, when you hit that homer, in the movie Chariots of Fire, Eric Little is saying through the drama of the script, when I run, I feel his pleasure. When you would hit, even though you came to faith in Christ in 1991 and there were still challenges, and we'll talk about more of that in a bit, when you connected with the ball like that, you said earlier in our conversation that sometimes it was the displaced rage you had against your earthly father because of his constantly reminding you that you were a loser, you were nothing, you'd never amount to anything. But did you have moments after you came to faith when you thought, I can feel his pleasure when I hit that ball like that?
Yeah. I mean, it was always there because, you know, after even coming to faith, you know, I really wasn't quite delivered just yet. You know, I was still in the process of the healing process of so much anger inside of me and so much, you know, rage inside of me towards my father. And it just completely left me just as being a baseball player, like I said, and just playing like I usually played for years and years and years, and still having to deal with the brokenness on the inside. The brokenness is on the inside is real. And I think a lot of people don't understand lawlessness brings brokenness and continues to bring broken generation of people. And when you are not well, when you're not healed, Janet, you know, it is still the same feeling. I don't care how many home runs I hit, how successful I get. I want to get rid of this empty feeling on the inside. And the thing I love about that, of coming to know it, you know, now I know it, but, you know, I went through this process, you know, after being saved, you know, I didn't go to a discipleship. So, you know, the Bible talks about it, says my people perish because of lack of knowledge. There's no knowledge and understanding of God's word. So that's why you perish. And that's why you go back to the familiar. And that's what happened to me. I ended up going back to the familiar. I ran into the wall, dislocated my shoulder, went ahead, got radically saved in California at a Moore Cirillo conference crusade. And then I ran into the wall, dislocated my shoulder. And then I went back to the familiar because I didn't have a foundation of who Jesus was. I didn't know the biblical principles. So if you don't know it, the enemy comes immediately to steal it from you. So you will not get to know it. And then I went back to the familiar lifestyle that made me comfortable. I started drinking again. I started womanizing again. And there I was, back in the same place all over again.
Wow. Darryl, you write that one of the things to turn our season around is to reclaim God's best. So let me challenge you. October 1st, 1998, you get diagnosed with colon cancer. 2 days later, they take the tumor away and 24 inches of your colon. Then a few days later, they say that the cancer's been detected in your lymph node. Then you go to chemo. Then in 2000, they say that there's more cancer in your lymph nodes. And then you get a tumor removed next to your left kidney in August of that year. When you're in the midst of all of that, how can you still sense God's best when you think it can't get any worse?
I didn't have a lot of hope from the natural standpoint, but I could tell you one standpoint I've always had hope from. And it was because of my mother. She was a Christian woman, and she went home to be with the Lord at the age of 55. She had terminal breast cancer, and we were all around her when she passed away. And I remember looking into her eyes and telling her that we were going to be okay. It was going to be all right. She can let go. And she let go and went home to be with the Lord. And then my sister found a journal under her bed. She had been praying over me that God would knock me off my throne and save me and bring about salvation. So that came to pass, you know, from my mother. She didn't get to see it in the natural, but she got a chance. She's looking in the supernatural. But her prayers, the righteousness of her prayers, saved my life. And not only did I get saved, Janet, I went on to lead my whole family to the Lord. I go on to lead my father to the Lord. It's just amazing what happened. And then in the midst of all the troubles and the trials I had, God's got a great sense of humor. He put two women in my life. He put my mother in my life praying for me. Then he brought my wife Tracy in my life, who's my wife today, and she was pulling me out of dope houses in South Florida. I was shooting dope, smoking crack. She pulling me out of dope houses, banging on doors, saying, God's got a plan for you. I said, why don't you and that God just leave me here and let me die? She said, you're just not that lucky.
Wow. Oh, the power of a praying mom. By the way, when Tracy first met you, didn't she meet you by a dumpster? Weren't you doing dope, and that's where she found you?
No, she met me at a convention in South Florida. I was just coming back from a five-day run of smoking crack, and there was, she had 1 year of recovery, and there was, we met at a convention, and I was just explaining to her, I said, you really, probably really don't want to get involved with me because I'm very dangerous, you know, I'm just not well. And she took that up on herself to, you know, get involved with me. I believe God sent her to me. God did send her to me, because I tell you one thing, her life was an example to me. That's why I ended up coming back to Christ. She was following Christ. And I ended up coming back, and she brought me back into church and led me back down to the aisle to ask God to forgive me and repent and turn from my wicked ways. And God changed me forever.
And didn't she also exemplify the need to be in the Word, that she really immerses herself in the Word?
Oh, my God, did she ever. She's still to this day. She's a pastor. She's been a pastor everywhere where we live. But what she does is she gets up every morning at 5:30 to 5 o'clock to go be with God and study. And she's still doing it from the day I met her. It's 21 years now that I've known her, and she's still doing the same thing, roll out of bed and go be with God and study His Word. And she was such a great example to me, and I was wondering why she is so happy every time I wake up. She's been up since 5. I'm getting up at, like, noon. She's like, hi, hon, you know? I was like, why are you so happy? come to find out, she was spending time with Jesus, and this is what the Lord has spoke to me about. He says, you can't get what she has because she spends time with me. When are you going to spend the time with me?
Wow, that is so rich. You also said that by getting into the Word, it helps us move from talking about Jesus to living for Jesus. Talk to me about that.
Yes. I mean, it takes you from talking about it, because, you know, most people straddle the fence and say, oh, Jesus, hi, Jesus, I praise Jesus on television, athletes and stuff. We really don't know him. You know, you don't know him until you actually move in and saturate yourself in the Word, and you lay with him and you study. And now when you study the Word is going to challenge you to make changes and convict you. It's going to convict you, too, at the same time, that you can't live like this anymore. I think that's why so many don't have the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, because they go through that conviction part, and you don't receive it as God's healing grace over your life, where He's going to bring you to a better place and understanding. He's going to sit you, but you have to know that He's God. Psalms 46:10 said, be still and know that I'm God. You don't see, most of us are not still enough to know that He's God and know that He knows what He's doing, and we don't know what He's doing, what we're doing. And when I realized that I didn't know what I was doing and learned to be still and know that He was God, that's when I started getting the revelation of what the Bible was really all about.
Wow. Such wisdom. You'd expect Daryl Strawberry to come here and give you a bunch of stats on baseball and how to be a great hitter. No, what he's telling you to do is how to live for Jesus by knowing Jesus and by spending time with Him. His brand new book is called Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life. It is the brand new book by Daryl Strawberry. By the way, I've got all that information on my website for you to learn. And if you know somebody who loves sports, get them this book. And if they don't yet know Jesus as their Savior, what a great way to start a conversation about this. You know, everybody who knows sports and anybody who knows baseball knows Daryl Strawberry. What a great open door to start sharing the profound truth and love of Jesus with them. So check it out, In the Market with Janet Parshall.org. Click on that red box. It says program details and audio. Takes you over to the info page. I've got a link to Daryl's website, the ministry that he and Tracy do, and also to the book that we're discussing this hour, Turn Your Season Around. Back after this.
Problem in America, and we need to come together and as people, you know, not color, but as people. And we need to understand that God has a perfect plan for all of us to come together and love each other and really work together. And I think when we work against each other, it separates us.
I was going to say, touching on this with Colin Kaepernick, he's created a real movement here, for better or for worse. What would you tell these athletes today that are playing politics with their job, and their job is sports? What would you say to them?
I would really say, really leave the politics alone as far as your job, and go out and do your job and play sports, because you only really have one time, one window open to play sports and have an impact. And sports is going to pass away, but what legacy will you leave in life? And that's the most important thing, and that's what it was for me. I played sports, you know, I'm over sports. But my legacy today is for my kids to know who the Lord is, to love people, to help people, and to care about other people.
Do you follow sports at all, Daryl, now?
No, I don't.
Any?
No, I mean, I follow college sports because my kid played college basketball, and my daughter plays. She'll be going to college playing volleyball next season at Boston College. So, you know, I keep up with my kids. I love college football, Saturday football now. If I can be home and I'm not away somewhere ministry and helping someone, I lay on the couch and watch college football.
One thing, just really quickly before we go, about prayer, like we pray for you. Pray for us, please.
I will. We all need to pray for each other.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Daryl, good to see you. Daryl Strawberry.
Thank you.
Well, I'm high-fiving the air over here. This is what I said before. See how God gives a platform to us? Not that we would be exalted, by the way. He humbles the prideful. But I have to tell you that Daryl gets this national platform because he is and always will be a baseball great. But he turns it right around and he gives honor and glory to the Lord. That was Fox Business, okay? He didn't hesitate to talk about Jesus. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you heard that he's a lover of his fellow man. And he's looking, by the way, to take that opportunity and tell people about Jesus. What will your legacy be? Daryl Strawberry told an international viewing audience that his legacy isn't going to be baseball. It's what he does for his children and whether or not they're going to know Christ as their personal Savior. Daryl, you and I were together. You didn't know, a couple other people were there, but when we were there together for Franklin Graham's prayer march, I just want to thank you, brother, for your prayer. I want to thank you for the way that you led us in prayer there. You weren't praying politically. I'm holding my nose. Being in Washington, I don't even want to talk politics, but I do want to talk about how we can be repairers of the breach and examples for Christ in our nation today. When you look around, knowing what it's like in our country today, knowing that we got to get ourselves right first. We can't heal a broken nation if we can't get ourselves healed first. How do we start that journey?
Yeah, that's so true right there. Exactly what you're saying there is it's the church, it's the body of Christ, it's the people. We have to come together, not be against each other. I think you have, you know, black pastors and white pastors all separated against, going against the grain of who's who and who's bigger than who. And that's not what God's called us for. He's called us for the body, you know, to come together and help heal this nation. See, if the church would stand up, this nation would get healed. If we stand up and preach the gospel and don't put people in the pulpit like we have, who has made a brand of themselves because they sound good, and the devil's just laughing. He knows there's no power there, and when there's no power, there's no victory. You know, so the church has to get back to getting victory, getting people to repent, like Billy Graham said, and come back and turn from those wicked ways and ask God to forgive us, because we are living in a time where everything is wicked and there's no understanding of, you know, God's way and God's principles. And that's why I like Ephesians 3:20. It talks about, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. Not our power, his power that works in us. And so many people are thinking it's their power, and it's not. It's God's gift. God gives you his gift, which is the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to reach the lost and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I couldn't do this. I'm not qualified to do this, Janet. You know, I know the great one that lives inside of me, Christ, who rule and reign over me, has given me the ability to speak a different way because I love him, and it's about him, and it's about his kingdom. And when we get back to that about his kingdom, that Matthew 6:33 talks about it, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added into you. We've gotten away from all that, and we've got more consumed with who am I, and how do I look, and how do I sound. The devil's just laughing, having a field day.
Yeah. Oh, boy, isn't that true. So I'm going to ask you, as a brother in the Lord, when you look around seeing everything that's happening right now, do you get discouraged? Are you afraid?
No, you know what? Because I believe in what the Word says, and I just keep doing what God has instructed me to do. Get up every day. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Rise, because no matter what problems are happening, he's still God. He's still sitting on the throne. Jesus is still sitting at the right hand. John 14:6, Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, when you know the truth sets you free. It don't allow you to get consumed with all these other earthly things that go on, because this is what's supposed to happen to us in the earthly things. We're supposed to be seeing this. Because people are separated from God, and those that are believers, we have to still continue to live what the gospel has taught us.
Yeah. Amen and amen. So, Daryl, to that person who's listening to you today going, man, no accident that I caught this conversation today. I'm really in a slump. I don't have a clue how to turn my season around. There are some passages that you talk about in your new book that really will help us start on our journey. Where should we turn in the Word?
Well, I think most people who are struggling need to get back to the basics, right? Because we all go through that. Because I remember when I was struggling, Janet, and I got back to the basics. What is the basis of the Bible? It's the book of John. The book of John is about Jesus. It's about believing. It's about the miracles. When you start understanding the miracles, turning water into wine, feeding 5,000, raising Lazarus from the dead. He was doing that then, and he's doing that now. But you have to come to the place of believing, just like he told Nicodemus in John 3, unless one is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You got to be born of the Spirit. You know, and most people don't understand that. They want to be born of the natural and live in the flesh. He's talking about being born of the Spirit when he was telling Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee and a teacher and a leader, and just to give him the education that we are born from a natural birth, but you need to be born from a spiritual birth to be able to operate in a different way. So I would send people to the book of John and read about who Jesus is, so you can really know who Jesus is. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's everything you're looking for. You don't need anything else. And if you get to the book of John, read through it and go over and keep reading through it so you can know who he is, so you can move forward.
Oh, boy, do I think that's excellent advice. Daryl Strawberry, I am so glad I get to spend eternity with you. Thank you for some time this side of glory. I really appreciate it. The book is absolutely fabulous. Turn Your Season Around, How God Transforms Your Life by Daryl Strawberry. See you next time, friends.
It feeds me.
Encourages me.
It comforts me.
If God uses Moody Radio to do that for you, imagine what he can do for your friends as they listen to Moody Radio. It could help them take that next step in their walk with Christ. We don't have a major budget for promotions at Moody Radio, but we do have you. So do us and your friends a favor. Tell them where they can listen to Moody Radio. Tell them how it's benefited you. And thanks.
Long gone are the days when kids would play outside for hours. Today, they're glued to a digital screen. In their two new books, Screen Kids and Grandparenting Screen Kids, Dr. Gary Chapman and Arlene Pellicane offer help for raising digitally balanced, well-behaved children in a tech-driven world. They'll empower you with tools to take back your home from an overindulgence of digital devices. Pick up your copies of Screen Kids and Grandparenting Screen Kids at moodypublishers.com.